Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 13th of July. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Rod and Reel have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear. More importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our fresh water reporters check in, and as always, we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Let's look at some fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is today, the 13th, that's correct. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. It's very dark at night. So what does it mean? A couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. You've got to get up a river this weekend. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite, full moon, fisherman's folly. Now, we've spoken about the Kaiwi Lakes trout fishing competition in the last few weeks, and well, it was completed last weekend. Competition attracted 53 contestants, and they weighed in 69 fish in total. And Kaipara District Council Mayor Dr. Jason Smith attended the competition on Sunday and presented the prizes to the winners. Now, the results. Child under 12 heaviest trout was won by Stella Allen, and the trout was 0.913 kgs. Junior heaviest trout, Deborah Daniels, was the winner, 1.35 kgs. Open men's troll spin bait, the winner was Peter Allen, with a fish of 1.256 kgs. Open woman's troll spin bait was won by Janice Peterson. And the Peter McPherson Open Men's Fly Championship was run by Russell Daniels with a fish of 1.2 kgs. Open Woman's Fly was won by Athen Patterson with a fish of 1.035 kgs. Best Condition Factor Prize was won by Daniel Allen. And the Lucky Draw Kayak, sponsored by Viking Kayaks, was won by John White. Congratulations, John. And the 2018 heaviest overall trout was won by Tom Riddle, and his trout was 1.276 kgs. Congratulations to all the winners and to the organisers and Northland Fish and Game. Another very good event. Well done. Now, yes, anglers, it's on again. Now, listen to this for a title of a organisation and a competition. The Sporting Life Fishing Outfitters Tooranging Winter Fly Festival, yes. And it's on Saturday, the 11th of August in Tooranging. All the tackle manufacturers and suppliers will be there. You get to try all the latest fly fishing gear. It will be on show and you get to play with it all. It's all free. Just go down there, you can try fly lines, rods, reels, waders, clothing, boots, whatever you like. Saturday, the 11th of August, Tooranging, the Sporting Life Fishing Outfitters Tooranging Winter Fly Festival. Okay, if you want to listen to the show on the internet at a time that suits you, it's really easy. You just go to the website planetaudio.org.nz/hookedonflyfishing. You can listen anytime, and there are archived shows with interviews with fly fishing people. planetaudio.org.nz/hookedonflyfishing. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you just contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay. Let's look at some weather with the Met Service. For those interested in saltwater fly fishing, the Auckland Marine Forecast. Warning. Strong wind advisory in force for the Hauraki Gulf from Bream Head to Cape Colville. The situation. A broad ridge across New Zealand moves slowly east today, while a complex low developing over the Tasman Sea builds a strong east to northeast flow over the region. The flow turns southwest as the low moves east across central New Zealand late Monday and Tuesday. Forecast for Manukau Harbour Saturday. Northeast 10 knots, rising to 20 knots in the morning. Sea becoming moderate in the morning and choppy when wind opposes the tide. Fair visibility and a few showers, easing in the morning. Forecast for Waitemata Harbour Saturday. Northeast 15 knots, rising to 20 knots in the morning and turning easterly 20 knots, gusting 30 knots late afternoon. Sea becoming moderate in the morning and choppy when wind opposes the tide. Fair visibility in a few showers, easing in the morning. Now the outlook for Sunday, easterly 25 knots but 40 knots north of Whangaparoa, easing to northerly 20 knots in the afternoon rain, heavier times, easing later. Be careful out on the sea. Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Cloudy periods and isolated showers, and northeasterlies picking up. Sunday in the Waikato region, cloud increasing, periods of rain from afternoon possibly heavy, easterlies rising to gale in exposed places. If you're fishing in the Rotorua region, Saturday, cloudy periods and isolated showers, northeasterly strengthening. Sunday in Rotorua, cloud increasing and rain developing in the afternoon with possibly heavy falls, easterlies rising to gale in exposed places. Taupo region, Saturday, cloudy periods. Any remaining showers clearing in the morning, northeasterlies strengthening. Taupo on Sunday, cloud increasing and periods of rain developing in the afternoon, possibly heavy, easterlies rising to gale in exposed places. If you're up and over the hill into Taumarunui, your forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods. Any remaining showers clearing in the morning, northeasterlies picking up. Sunday in the Taumarunui region, cloud increasing and scattered rain developing in the afternoon, easterlies rising to gale in exposed places. South Island anglers, Canterbury Plains, forecast for Saturday, morning frosts and a fine day light winds. Sunday in the Canterbury Plains, cloud increasing, showers developing in the morning and becoming more persistent from afternoon. Northeasterlies developing, becoming strong in exposed places. So what's the secret? Don't expose your places. Okay, thank you to Met Service. Now let's look at some river levels. The Punu River is 23 kilometres south of Tauamutu. It's currently at 9.5 metres. It's flowing at 20 cubic metres per second. It's too fast to fish, dirty. The next one over, the Mangatutu, is at 1.63 metres. However, the flow was 6.4 cubic metres per second. It's a bit quick for this river. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangahaki between Pauroa and Waihi, is 12 metres, it's falling. It's flowing at 8.4 cubic metres per second, dirty. Tauranga Taupo River, at the southern end of Lake Taupo, is at 0.54 of a metre, 13 cubic metres per second. That's down on last week. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 76 metres and falling. However, it's flowing at 19.6 cubic metres per second. It's dirty, too fast to fish. The Nongataha River and Rotorua, obviously, is at 0.87 of a metre and dropping, good condition. The Whakapapa River is at 3.2 cubic metres. It's in good condition. It's down from a high of 80 cubic metres per second. The Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 40 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 161 cubics. the Tongariro River measured at Turangi is at 32 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 272 cubic metres per second. As you've heard in the forecast from Met Service, rain is expected this weekend. These rivers will rise. You need enjoy the fishing, but you need to be very, very careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Excellent websites, updated continuously. Real-time monitoring. It's excellent. Well done. Okay. We're going to have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. Into Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo-Turangi area, and Stella is an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. And Stella is live on air with us now. Good evening, Stella.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. You're well down there?
We're great, thank you. We're a bit warmer today, which is lovely.
Yes, you had snow, Desert Road closed, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday or something?
Yes, we did, and a tremendous amount of snow around the mountain too, which is really good, right down, obviously, which has been fantastic for school holidays, as you can well imagine. It's just perfect timing. Early, but perfect timing.
Good for the skiers, good for the businesses.
It's great, yes, it's a really traditional winter.
That's good, isn't it?
It is, it's fantastic.
One question about snow melt. How long does it take generally before it hits the rivers, and do they go all milky?
I think it's a fallacy. I think in actual fact, we don't probably, our river systems are not affected by snow melt. The Tongariro may get a little bit if we were to have an excessive amount of snow that fell right down to the bottom of the Kaimanawas and right through the Waipaki catchment, maybe. But in reality, there's not enough snow to actually generate the volume of water that we would expect to see in the rivers.
Okay.
So it's not like the South Island where you've got hundreds and hundreds or thousands of acres or hectares of area and you know, I mean, if you think of the ranges, the mountain, you've just got so much snow, so therefore, and which is there for weeks and weeks and months and months, whereas our snow here is probably, if you think about the mountain, is probably there for maybe 4 months of the year.
Okay,
And there'll be little crevices and bits and places that have snow even right through the summer if it's a particularly cool summer, but in reality, just it's not enough.
Not enough to affect things. Now, I noticed on Genesis Energy website today, I'm looking at the river flows in the Tongariro.
Phenomenally high.
It was 32 cubics this afternoon, which is a little bit higher than normal, but it's fine.
Not
too bad. But it's down from a high of 272, so you've obviously had a lot of rain.
We had a lot of rain in a very short period of time. Mm. In fact, we probably had 50 or 60 mils in 24 hours, maybe less than that actually.
Okay.
Just, it was hard to believe, and it's certainly reflective in rivers and also the lake level, which had actually dropped away quite considerably because we had a period of sort of 10 days with very heavy frosting, which naturally draws water, and rivers had actually returned to sort of quite reasonable, what you'd call low, clear conditions, which was actually quite challenging as we spoke last week with regards to fishing. And obviously, in a space of a matter of a few days, that's changed. But rivers have dropped away quite significantly, and fishing has resumed, which is great.
Good.
But all rivers have colour and volume. There's no doubt about that still.
Okay, I understand, yeah. But good thing about a freshen up, if you like, it turns stones over, gives everything a clean.
Certainly does.
Puts a lot of food into the system as well.
It certainly had the effect that we all wanted, and
yeah.
There is no doubt that when I spoke to you last Friday, fishing had been quite difficult for two or three days, maybe a week or so, which it was challenging. In other words, you know, you can always take a horse to water, but you can't necessarily make it drink, so therefore giving everyone every piece of conceivable information doesn't mean that you necessarily catch fish, and it's not because you're not a good fisherman, or it's not because you're not in the right space. It's just the way the rivers fish at certain times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that rain has made a significant difference. We've obviously had a change in barometric pressure. We've had lots of rain, which has washed, as you say. We've got debris, and they're all beginning to turn now, which is great. And as a result of that, the fishing has been considerably better. Must admit, over the weekend, though, we did have a little bit of rain, but we also had good fine weather as well. And it really significant drops in barometric pressure. So we had sort of minus three and a half, almost a minus four frost on Saturday.
Okay.
And there's no doubt that through the weekend we did have some slightly better fishing. And not necessarily lower reaches, lower mid for the Titi especially, and certainly the Tongariro fish a little bit more consistently. And since, of course, we've had this fresh, and that in itself has allowed those fish to move. So there have been a lot of fish that have been holding off the mouths, which we've been waiting to move, and lots of speculation as to why they weren't in the rivers.
Okay. Now, just looking at Met Service, you've got cloudy periods tomorrow, rain on Sunday, but it's still quite warm, 12, 13 degrees during the day.
It's tropical compared to what we've had.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we had a little switch this afternoon where it went northerly and then turned to the east, which was very cold, and certainly on the mountain it was absolutely freezing. But at 12 degrees, or as you say, 10 to 12, I mean, that is certainly a lot warmer than what we've had. And in itself, you know, I mean, the next few days I think will be perfectly fine. The mountain will stick its little head out of the cloud, I'm sure, and be sunny, and we may have a little bit of cloud down here, but quite often that does just burn off. It's just like a little duvet. It burns off, and I have a feeling we'll probably get a slightly better day than perhaps they forecast us. But
okay.
Maybe there's going to be a little bit on Sunday, which then will affect the rivers, definitely.
Okay. Can you tell us about the other rivers, the Hany Mai Aia, the TT, your local one, and what else, what have you heard around the traps?
The Hany Mai Aia and the Waitanui have both had not a great deal of pressure, really, because it's naturally at school holidays and people, because the mountains have been open and the snow's been so good, people have tended to be on the mountain rather than fishing. But for those that have been about who fished the Hany Mai Aia and the Waitanui, certainly reasonable numbers of fish and reasonable conditioned fish, good size, and looking really quite positive. So the Hany Mai Aia naturally had a little bit of extra water, and they obviously released a little bit through the dam through that period of time as well, so it was high for a moment and then has dropped away and is looking particularly good. And I actually spoke to a couple who've actually, fishermen who've been fishing the mouth as well, with some good results. So there's definitely fish that are moving. The same with the Waitanui, likewise, very little pressure. But there is, because the lake level's come back up again, the rip is now much more well-defined, as you can well imagine, rather than running along the beach. It's actually running straight out. It's a very strong, healthy rip.
Okay.
So if you'd be mindful of the fact that if you are actually fishing it, that you take care. And obviously working your way back, you know, the TT, the Waimarino, Waitaka. Waimarino has fished pretty consistently as well, which it always does after a fresh. And also quite often the lower reaches where people tend to feel that the access is probably a little bit more difficult and not a place to take your car. But in reality, if you're prepared to walk, there's some very nice open water and also above the bridge, which does fish quite well with a little bit of extra colour and volume. And of course, you've got the Tongariro, which has been fairly high but dropped away quite considerably. And interesting too to note is that, you know, we've had a lot of wetliners and they're not necessarily people that have children, school holidays, so they've certainly been around on the TT Waimarino and Tongariro over the last two or three days too, as those fields have cleared, and they've picked up quite reasonable numbers of fish. And also, it's always a really nice way, easy way of actually determining where those fish are holding too, whereby you fish the bottom, so therefore you find out where those fish are holding. So it does give you the actual, you know, the upper edge at times. And that's naturally the way we used to always fish in the old days, when our rivers were quite deep and channeled. And I mean, we still nymph, but certainly after a fresh, we'd use a wet line to find where those fish were holding.
That's right, because it scours the bottom out and they move around a bit.
Exactly.
And that's right, yes.
It's different holding water.
That's right. The bridge pool's been going well in the last week or so, apparently, according to some of my friends.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, really in reality, I think, you know, people were really concerned about the fact that there was some remedial work that was done on the river and that some of those lies would be affected. But, you know, nature's a very interesting thing, and you can't mess with nature, because nature just goes back to its, you know, same old. And I think possibly if you look at the staunchions on the bridge, which are, you know, the feet that are in the river, and you look at the flow of the river and you look at the nature of the volume of water, which obviously changes because it's hydro and also because of freshers and those sorts of things, it means that your lies are often naturally formed due to, you know, an artificial means. So therefore the staunchions actually create the lie, and whereby you may remove shingle or stone or whatever it happens to be out of a river, in actual fact it will often reform, and often better after a period of, you know, having, you know, had diggers in rivers and removing the shingles. So I really think there was a lot of concern about the fact that that may change, but it hasn't. And as the river has dropped away, naturally that those lies form and those fish hold, which is really cool.
Yeah, one of my angler friends was down there in the last week or so. He spent a bit of time there, and he was telling me that just south of the bridge itself, the diggers dug out a whole lot of gravel, and it created like a big pool, if you like.
That's right.
And what he reckoned, the fish were coming up, sitting in the pool, holding, resting, and then they would run the gauntlet up past the anglers, under the bridge, and then scurry on up. And he said at times there was lots of anglers hooking lots of fish. Then all of a sudden we'd go quiet.
Yes, as they move through.
As they move through, they're gone. Mm. Then you wait till the next lot, have a rest. And then, he said it was really exciting. It was great.
Interesting. Yeah. And also the other thing too is it's quite interesting, those that use split shot and don't use a top fly, and those that use either two smaller flies below, versus those that actually use the standard leader length to the weighted nymph, you know, your standard tungsten, obviously variable depending on the volume or the stretch that you're actually fishing, and then your little dropper being your herring copper or whatever, stick caddis or your glow bug. It's really interesting if you look at and talk to people, often you'll find the split shot guys miss a significant number of those fish, which we call our running fish, and they often take a top nymph before it sinks. So, you know, it is fascinating. It's exactly the same when those fish are running, just like that. They come, hold, and then they move, and they move en masse.
Yes, yeah, apparently so. He said it was really interesting. All right, thank you. That's lovely to catch up. Thank you for that, Stella.
Now, you're welcome.
Your contact details, please.
0738 68953, and we're open 7 days, so give us a call anytime. Another thing, just for those that are around and about with regards to the lake was a little windy today, and then maybe a little bit of a breeze tomorrow, but the lake has actually been fishing consistently, really consistently, so those fish are still quite deep, surprisingly enough. Talked to someone today, 60 or 70 feet, he said, and others who've been fishing deeper. So, you know, what that tells you is the lake temperature is actually still 12 degrees. And so, therefore, it is actually relatively warm. So those fish are still holding a little deeper in that cooler water.
Well, that's good. Well, there's the tip, anglers. You've got to go down. Get down. Thank you, Stella.
All right.
So that's Stella Gordon at the store Tūranga Eater, right by the banks of the Tauranga Taupo River. Ring Stella, talk fly fishing on 07-386-8953. We do appreciate it. Thank you, Stella.
You're most welcome. You have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, Stella. Catch you next week. Thank you.
Lovely. Bye. Bye.
Stella Gordon, 07-386-8953. Just give her a ring, 7-2-7, 7 days a week. And talk fly fishing. Where are they? What flies to use? All that sort of stuff. That's what she does. Thank you, Stella. Okay, quick break. More fishing stuff in a minute. We'll be right back. on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robertson is a long-time Rotorua resident. He's an even longer-time Rotorua angler, and that's exactly why we want to talk to him on a Friday to find out what the hell's going on before we fish the weekend. Good evening, Bert.
Good evening, Colin.
How you all?
No, I'm hanging in there, one foot after the other.
It's still cool down that way?
Yeah, not too bad tonight, actually. We've had some pretty good frosts. We've had a minus three a while ago, but most of them only been sort of 3 degrees, 2 degrees, at a zero. So it's not too bad, but yesterday we had a bit of rain, and that certainly energised the fishing dramatically, actually. Bunch of guys out at Okatina last night did very, very well. Some of them still getting busted off on the take. Fish ranging between 4.5 and 9 pounds or so. And that's in the evening. Now, morning fishing has been a bit better. Same at Ruoto. Quite a few down at the Pipe and Transformer, which have got the school holidays, so I think there seems to be a hell of a lot more kids around and people on the road, so I presume it's school holiday stuff.
Yes, I would imagine so. Because some of the lakes are closed, are you finding more people at lake edges or up rivers?
No, there's always a huge amount of people out there, land-based anyway. There's obviously a percentage of the boat-based anglers who are land-based as well, but I don't think it's made a huge difference. But the fact that there's the ability to go away, get out of work and go fishing with the family in tow is obviously quite an attraction to a number of anglers. What's been happening is, last night in particular, there were a large number of fish taken out of Okatina Main Beach. There's not a lot of beach there, but those down to the left were doing quite well, and then a few went down to the right, which is not a lot of beach, but you wander out to about waist deep and water and gives you enough room to cast a line. And you're out over the weed beds as well, which is always good. And then using the bigger dole fly sizes and your black, Craig's Night Time and that type of fly as well. So mostly last night it was the lumos that were doing the damage, and it was calm as. I think it's pretty calm again tonight, but we've got a good cloud cover, and it is sort of drizzling here at the moment, so it's not too bad, and that'll help break the line hitting the water and not put the fish off.
Yeah, well, that's good. Your forecast is tomorrow cloudy periods, isolated shower northeasterly. Sunday cloud increasing, rain developing in the afternoon, possibly heavy falls, easterlies rising to gale.
Yeah, I'm picking that the forecast is going to drag a hell of a lot more fish back in. Okay. We've had a pretty amazing run through the fish trap, apparently, and it comes out on the 1st of August, but I suspect this year they may even run a bit longer if the fish are still coming in. Often at the sort of the end of July, it tends to dry up a bit, but I'm picking that we're going to get a significant number of fish in over the next couple of weeks around the lake edges anyway. Yeah. So it's certainly worth a crack, getting out there, getting your line to water, and getting into some really, really good quality fish.
Okay, now you're talking about the Tiwairoa trap?
Yes.
Yeah, now you were saying, I think 2 to 3 weeks ago, they had some record fish go through, their sizes and numbers. It's gone gangbusters.
Well, certainly the numbers are record busting. Yeah. They've surpassed the best runs of fish for a decade. Now heading for the best runs ever. There are some anglers out there who perhaps won't agree with that so much, but interesting, last night there were 7, I think, fishing along the beach at Okatina, and 6 of them were catching regularly, and the other guy got nothing.
Yes.
So, you know, it's the way it is. But yeah, the fish are coming in. They are in during the day over the weed beds and stuff. So it's a matter of getting out there and getting into them. Now, during the day, I'd probably look at something like a woolly bugger over the weed beds, something green orbit, that type of thing. The other option you can try too is an indicator and an egg pattern slung underneath. that can be very successful. It doesn't take you long to figure out the depth of the water you're casting over to, which, you know, could be up to 8 feet deep with a weed bed underneath it. So you put on something like a 6 or 7 foot trace with an indicator and during the day and just let it drift around. Just especially with northeasterly, of course, that's 10, if it's coming up to gale force and stuff like that, it'll be an offshore wind.
Okay, well, there you go. There's the tip, anglers. Now, I've talked to people who've been up to Nongataha, and they're using those otter egg patterns up there with great success too, apparently.
Yeah, well, this time of the year, there's always good runs of fish still coming up to the Nongataha, both browns and rainbows. May, June, July, of course, are the 6 months that they tend to peak. And it's just a matter of getting up there. Haven't had a huge amount of rain, but if we get torrential rain, it'll knock the river around a bit more. There's still a heap of damage in the lower sections. I think they said they fixed about 40 or 50 of the 200 damaged areas of riverbank down there. Okay. I'm doing temporary repairs at the moment, and when the levels go down on a regular basis over the summer, they'll get in there and do a whole lot more. They've spent over $100,000 on repairs so far on the Nongataha alone.
Gosh, that's, yeah, a lot of damage. Now, that closes, what, 2 weeks' time, doesn't it? It's 2.5 weeks' time or something?
No, the upper reaches are closed. June 30 was the cutoff.
Oh, correct. June 30, yes.
Yeah, but because you've got the lower reaches, which are still fishing.
Yes.
You've got from the stream mouth up to State Highway 5.
Yeah.
There's a few smaller fish going up in the area along Western Road, but you know, they, like, it's starting to come down quite heavy here right now as I speak, and I'd be tempted to be out at the mouth at least for some of those browns, mega browns and rainbows and good size, you know, good rainbows. But if you want a trophy fish, that you've got to be out to places like Ruoto, Transformer Cafe, Pipe, and also Okatina. Tarawera Main Beach has been producing some good fish as well at the landing, but also off Stony Point. So you've got a few places you still fish out that way too.
That's the beauty of Rotorua. There's untold places to fish.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's very good. Is that rain we can hear in the background now?
Yeah, I'm just standing outside under my cabin deck, which has got plastic corrugations on it, and the rain's coming down a little bit now. It's just got a bit heavier, actually. So I'm picking it. If it wasn't for this phone call having to happen, I probably would be out there by now myself if I was fit enough.
All right, we do appreciate it. Thank you, Bert. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm 1-0-2-7-2-8-9-6-0-7-9. Just give us a call or a text and I'll figure through what's happening on the details, you know, of what's hot and what's not.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fly Fishing, 0-2-7-2-8-9-6-0-7-9. Thank you, Bert. Keep dry. Talk to you next week.
Yep, I'll be here somewhere.
Thank you, Bert.
See you later. Bye.
See ya. Bert Robinson, 0-2-7-2-8-9-6-0-7-9. He's free with his information. Give him a call or a text. Thank you. Okay, what have we got? Quick break and then more fishing stuff. I wandered around, nothing more than time on my hand. I was lost in the night with no sight of you. And at times you were so blue and lonely, heading for the light. I'm listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Now, Martin Langlands, he's an interesting character. Martin's based in South Island, a place called Darfield, actually. And Martin has many years' experience as a fisherman, a fly tyer, a casting instructor, a fishing guide. And his aim when fishing with a client is to be innovative, informative, friendly and professional. And that's exactly why we need to talk to Mr. Langlands. Hello, Martin. How are you?
Hello. How are you going today?
I'm good, thanks. You well?
Really good, thanks.
Okay. What's happening? Wintertime, South Island
sure.
fishing.
Yep. Wintertime, yeah. We're sort of halfway through winter, aren't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, whilst the South Island's probably, you know, not as favourable as the North Island for fishing options, we certainly have some nice things going on. Let me talk about a couple that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Number one, you know, the Twisel Tekapo canals
yes.
are really going gangbusters. Not necessarily the easiest place to catch fish, but some phenomenal trout coming out of there right now. So, you know, some amazing rainbows in that sort of 10 to 30 pound range.
That's amazing.
You know, I know someone this morning, he got a 30 pounder at 7 o'clock this morning.
30
It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to comprehend a 30 pound rainbow trout.
Unbelievable. Now, are they catching
So, you know, they are fishing really quite well. Most of the fish in the canals, from what I hear, it's not something I actually fish, but I do a lot of flies for people and I, you know, hear a bit about the culture. So what a lot of people are doing is what's called egg rolling.
Okay,
and that
explain.
Is where they have a system where they have a lead sinker, or this is all on spin gear or soft plastic gear, where they're using a sinker to get deep and then they're attaching various glow buggy type things and casting out into the middle of the canal and basically just walking along with it.
So it's really
dredging the bottom and, yeah. You know, fluorescent eggs, playing around with different colours and the like seems to be the way to go there. You know, and yeah, obviously not numbers of fish, but certainly immense quality.
Yeah, amazing. Now, they tell me that people park their camper vans on the side and they just stay there.
They do. Look, it's just a huge culture. Central South Island Fish and Game, who are based in Temuka, they've just put out a little leaflet about the canals. So, you know, if anybody is interested from anywhere in New Zealand, especially if it's maybe the North Islanders who don't know as much, if you get hold of Central South Island Fish and Game, they've just put out a pamphlet about it. And, you know, look, it's a whole culture. You know, a lot of people soft plastic and, you know, some people bait fish for them and other people, you know, fly fishing can work. This year they seem to be quite deep. A lot of the canals, like a lot of our inland lakes, are quite low and clear. So, you know, a lot of fish are staying quite deep.
Okay, so you need that weight to get down. You've got to get down.
You do, I guess, for sure, right. But, so, you know, that's the number one thing that's happening, and, okay. You know, that's going gangbusters. And the next thing there is quite a cultural thing. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's pretty friendly, and people get together and have a chat when nothing's happening, and, you know, it's obviously quite social. You're not going to it's not a wilderness experience. You're fishing along a quiet road, but that's it. And then secondly to that, probably the next best option is the high country lakes that are open during the winter season. You know, we've talked about this before, Benmore, Aviemore, Lake Waitaki, Lake Coleridge, Lake Pearson, you know, there's quite a few of the lakes. They're fishing really well, particularly around the stream mouths. We had a bit of rain and nor'west rain this week, which was really good. We probably need a little bit more.
Okay.
You know, because what a lot of our fish do, it's a little bit like you guys up there. You know, they won't really start to come around those river mouths and go into the up the rivers until we get a bit more snow or rain. They really love running on those pressures.
Okay.
There was a small one earlier this week. Peter and I fished Lake Coleridge. It wasn't easy by any means, but we were really, really enjoyed the day we had. And, you know, we caught some amazingly high-quality fish, rainbows.
Yeah, I see. You've got a photo of Peter with a very nice fish.
No, it was just the most amazing fish, and it's funny, we had the same happen last year. You know, it's funny how people, you know, you can look on Facebook and you see those photos and think, wow, I better get up there, it's easy. We found it really hard. You know, I remember, just, you know, distinctly after about 45 minutes, both Peter and I, my brother, we were fishing and nothing happened, and Peter said, oh, let's move on, let's go on up to us somewhere else. And I said, no, let's just go for a sequence of different things here. And, you know, then the fish just came on a little bit and then they went off a wee bit. So, you know, perseverance is the way. And it was really interesting for us, Colin, in that there were some other anglers up there, you know, at least four other anglers, and they stayed for the whole time and caught nothing.
Okay, now...
And here's what I have to say to people. It's interesting. You're fishing, and that's the main thing. I get that not everybody wants to catch fish or go hard out, but, you know, after, you know, 45 for an hour, if your method's not working, be sure to change. Like, I noticed, you know, one of the real cliches, one of the real norms for streammouth fishing and high country lake fishing in the South Island tends to be an intermediate line and then a woolly bugger. Cool?
Yes.
If that's not working, you're going to have to change.
Okay, I understand.
And, you know, what we do is we sequence flies for a start, so we'll go into your woolly bugger and then maybe tie a glow bug behind, or woolly bugger and tie a dragonfly nymph behind. Interestingly, we did keep a fish to eat, and it had a lot of dragonfly nymphs in it.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, the fish were definitely combing the weed bed. So I guess, well, Pete and I were thinking, okay, it's pretty interesting. The fish were deep. They were on the weed beds, and you had to get down there to them.
Okay.
So, you know, we opted to use sinking lines, DI-5. You know, was the sink rate we used, and that seemed to work really well.
Okay. Now, I've just got 42 seconds to go.
Sure.
Thank you for that. The secret is mix it up until it works.
Take sinking lines. Don't just stick with, you know, use a floater, use an intermediate, use a sinking line.
Okay.
Use some heavy flies, use some fluorescent flies. Yeah, mix it up. Keep chopping and changing.
Thank you, Martin. Your contact details, please.
Sure. www.troutlands.com or Martin Langlands, LANGLANDS on Google, and you'll find me.
All right, have a look at that. Martin Langlands, troutlands.com, are on Facebook. Excellent websites.
Thank you. Yeah, we've had some beautiful weather, and yeah, I definitely urge anglers to get out.
Thank you, Martin. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Mr. Martin Langlands. Okay, we've just got time for the fly fishing tip of the week. The fly fishing tip of the week. If you keep missing fish, check your hook. If the hook is dull, change or sharpen it. If the hook is sharp, use a smaller size. Okay, Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.